Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
We're on Bloomberg World Headquarters. I'm Charlie Pelletta. Stocks are extending gains, the dollar all but erasing losses amid corporate earnings and comments from Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin that the government will cut taxes and avoid a shutdown. The S&P 500 index up 20 now at 2358, a gain there of 0.9%. Dow Industrials up 201 points to 20,606, up by 1%. NASDAQ up 59, a gain also of 1%. Gold down $2 the ounce to 1281, down 0.2%. The 10-year down 8/32 with a yield of 2.24%. And West Texas Intermediate crude down 0.3% to $50.27 a barrel. I'm Charlie Pellett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Thank you very much, Charlie Pellett. It's 1148 here in the Bay Area, 248 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg View. In this age of partisan rancor, it's been heartening to see something that brings the nation together. Something like, you know, hating on United Airlines. If there's potential for a political alliance that can break through Washington's long deadlock, in fact, it might just be a coalition aligned against large corporations. Resentment of concentrated economic power has been a factor in American politics since the very beginning, although not always a decisive one. In recent years, industry after industry in the U.S. has been consolidating. Corporate influence on the legislative system and the courts has been growing. We seem due for a backlash. Voters have already been expressing disdain for things that big corporations like, such as immigration and free trade. So what's to stop them from focusing their ire on the corporations themselves? I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg View. For more Bloomberg opinion and commentary, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, also at 548, 848, and 1148 Wall Street time.
Yeah, with all that data floating around and even more data coming, we all want to move it around and we want to have the capability to do it seamlessly. And that's what we want to talk a little bit about it because, folks, get ready for the next and newest mobile wireless technology. We're talking about 5G, not quite here yet, but let's get some thoughts on it. With us is Dr. Gerald Marini. He's president and co-founder at Cleveland-based TerraPhysics, along with Dr. James Dayton, chief technology officer at TerraPhysics as well, and also inventor of what we're going to talk about. So first of all, TerraPhysics, tell us what you guys do.
Well, we have developed a family of millimeter wave and terahertz amplifiers and sources over about the last 15 years. We've been working on this for longer than that. And in fact, Jim was my boss at NASA when I was straight out of graduate school back in 1992. And we worked together for about 4 years then, and we stayed in close contact. And around 2001, he had gone to the West Coast and was director of technology at a division of Boeing, was Hughes originally. And I asked him, he was coming back, and I asked him if he could help me to finally get this diamond-related device stuff going, because we had discovered at NASA that diamond is a natural electronic amplifier, and if implemented into these types of vacuum electronic devices, they could really make enormous differences in the way communications was done. And Jim was the device guy. I'm a materials physicist.
So let's bring in Jim and just talk a little bit about the device. You invent, you know, you're the inventor here. I think if I had my father, the engineer who also did some work for NASA, he would love this conversation. So tell me a little bit about exactly what you've done and what it might potentially give us the capability to do in terms of communications.
What we have developed is a miniature version of a device which has been in operation for about 75 years. It's called a traveling wave tube. And we have, really been things going on that I was doing at NASA. It's been a continuous series of innovations to get to this point. And what we've done is to be able to take a lot of the size and weight out of this device. We found ways to make them so that they're about one-tenth the size of a conventional device. Mm-hmm. That makes this viable.
Sorry, the conventional device is what right now? Like, what's the state-of-the-art now?
The state-of-the-art, they're used on communication satellites. There's thousands of communication satellite amplifiers that are using the technology that we developed at NASA. And they, basically, they're used in most high data rate, high power telecom systems. Basically, the solid state devices are fine at low powers and for low frequency. But to get to high power and high frequency, you really have to go to a vacuum device.
And I sorry to interrupt you, Jim, mm-hmm. but these devices, these types of vacuum electron devices, have been primarily used on space-based communication platforms until now. There's really not a lot of terrestrial applications for communications for this type of device, and this is what one of the reasons we want to bring this.
All right, I want to bring it down to lay terms a little bit, because before we got going, mm-hmm. I'm like, well, so tell me, what is this going to enable me to do? And we started talking about the Internet of Things, where we're right. going to have appliances yeah. talking to us. We're going to walk down the street, and we're going to probably have eyeglasses saying, hey, you know, you need, I sure. don't know, you need a new pair of shoes, Carol. Go right. into this store, because there
or
is
maybe,
a sale.
Or maybe more sunblock or something, based on the, you know, cloud cover for
but,
that particular
But that's
day.
What 5G is all about.
Exactly.
Getting us
yeah.
ready to be able to have so many different devices, you know, pulling in, giving out information.
Right.
Well, those devices that are talking to each other and also people walking around with their handheld devices, that communication is all occurring at low frequencies, you know, a few gigahertz at most right now. But that has to be what will be happening in order to cover the huge increase in bandwidth that's needed mm-hmm. is that you'll be going to bandwidth reuse. You'll be having small cells that use instead of one central tower illuminating a several square mile area, you'll have small cells that are illuminating maybe a few city blocks. But that small cell can provide perhaps half of the bandwidth of the large transmitter. So you can reuse that frequency over and over again. But you have to then take all that data and communicate it back into the backbone telecom system. Mm-hmm. And right now, that is done many times just with copper wire, but also what's increasingly done is that people build fiber optic systems
right.
too. And the problem with that is it's expensive, and you have to dig up city streets, and there's places where it just isn't practical.
So this is cheaper, more productive.
Yes,
this
and
is definitely,
it just goes through the air.
Yeah, this is substantially cheaper on a sort of a gigabit per dollar basis. Now, these devices at this at E-band, which is the sort of the standard 71 to 86 gigahertz range, will produce about 20 gigabits per second of data transmission. Now, state-of-the-art E-band radios currently claim to produce on the order of 1 gigabit per second. In reality, they do less than half of that. Mm-hmm. However, we can move that to higher frequencies and get to hundreds of gigabits per second. And that's the kind of thing that's going to be necessary when you're talking about 100 billion new devices added to the Internet in the next 15 years and an increase in bandwidth requirements on the order of 5,000 times. What's going to happen is you're going to have so much use of these things that our technology will primarily be used for what's called backhaul, mm-hmm. where a tower is receiving signals from tens of thousands of devices and then has to send that along its way to the next, say, tower, where it eventually gets disseminated into its final, you know, connection point. Our device would be used to move all of those signals simultaneously, you know, from tower to tower wirelessly, where you don't have to dig up the streets. I mean, in a city
right.
like New York, you don't have the luxury to do that so easily. We were in London, and we were told, you know, the city's fed up. They need more drops, communication
right.
drops, but they don't want people digging up the streets anymore.
We just got about 15 seconds here. So realistically, though, we're talking a few years away for this?
About, you know, 2 years. It would be, yeah. begin to be putting them into operation.
It's like bullet trains for communications
right.
everywhere.
That's good. That's very
in the
good.
Sky mm-hmm. kind of thing. Cool stuff. We love talking about this here, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
Dr.
you.
James Dayton, he's Chief Technology Officer of at TerraPhysics, along with Dr. Gerald Marini, President and Co-Founder at TerraPhysics. By the way, they're based in Cleveland, but lucky for us, in our Bloomberg 1130 studio on this Thursday. Coming up, we're going to check on the markets right here on Bloomberg Radio.